Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Nasty blue nose, not cold, frazzleack, and hack, crash, clack. And other noises associated with what happens when the computers don't behave. Good evening. Hi, howdy. Good morning. Good afternoon. Wherever you may be on this pale blue dot of a time machine hurtling through time and space, welcome to the first program of 2014. This is, of course, The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find the entree to the chat room, which already has a number of its usual residents in there. Good evening, Jan. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Hey, Lottie. Howdy, Sal. Hey, Sergi. Sparky's in there. Todd's there. Kathy's on her way. And there's Waggy. Good evening, all. And if you're not there, good evening to you, too. Sorry I am a little bit late getting on the air, but it was, these things happen. Two nights ago it was a dead monitor. Today it was just a production computer that didn't particularly want to reboot. Bastards. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com you will find the Listen Live button. Other listening alternatives are available at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Welcome, one and all, especially to new listeners. I heard from Nydia, a brand new member of the Horn family, here in almost level West by God, Virginia. So, hi, Nydia. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you will find, of course, the PayPal button. That is how this has managed to continue going through your determination and your good graces for, yea, verily, going on 10 years now. And about 7 of that has been listener supported. So that's where the PayPal button is, how we keep it all going. That plus the traditional mail address, The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB. You know, Paul Maker, Paul Mary Baker, 318 Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801, with a reminder that checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but to Head On Communications, The Horn. Something along those lines, please. And this is a new month, and it is a new month with a new year to hopefully keep this all the plates spinning in the air. So, as is the case with any given evening, we're going to try to raise $150 this evening. 15 at 10, 2 at 75, 3 at 50, 5 at 30, 30 at 5. Right. You get the idea. Yes, for those making inquiry, this is a live program. Although I was a bit late to the microphone, I apologize for that again. So thanks for it. Marty noting, and the third switch works. Dan noting, Bob, are you broadcasting? There we are, says Dan. And Dan says, P.S., thanks for the warm welcome on Tuesday. We had a wonderful time for our Horn New Year's Eve Lollapaganza Extravapalooza. A real blast. So thanks one and all who participated there. It was a big hoot. Outside, I was out and about earlier today. Outside, snow flurries are beginning. And apparently the West Virginia Department of Highways is taking things very seriously because I think they've got the entire fleet of salt trucks out with their snowplows on the front. It has already, the winter storm being referred to as Hercules has already begun delivering a wallop. Perhaps our chat room moderator Lottie might like to elaborate on it. Begun delivering a wallop up east. I had a note earlier from Dr. John. Subject line, dispatch from Hercules. Winter storm Hercules, that is. I'm one of the 100 million impacted by the storm. Let me tell you, Bob, this is the worst weather we've been through in our 7 years in upstate New York. Down here in Binghamton, we've had nonstop snowfall since last night. So far, we've had 8 inches. I've shoveled 3 times now, and we'll do another round before bed and just hope that I don't wake to another 6 or so. That said, we're not getting it nearly as bad as folks up in Syracuse, Rochester, and Buffalo. The worst part? Usually when it's snowing here, the small comfort is that the temperatures are probably in the high 20s. I never believed it, but it actually can be too cold to snow. I heard that all my life growing up. Yeah, too cold to snow. Oddly enough, I heard that in Alabama. But I guess it is real. Dr. John continues, well, tomorrow we're supposed to stay in single digits, with lows overnight dropping to minus 10 and wind chills down to 25 below. That's weird for here. The whole thing is weird for this part of the country. Yeah, it's cold and yeah, it snows, but this kind of sustained storm combined with really low temperatures is something I've never experienced. So I'm hoping the power stays on, and I'm keeping the shovel sharp and the kettle boiling. I hope other folks in the family commune are safe and warm. Happy New Year, with a big question mark. Yeah, we sent 2013 to its ignominious end, and 2014 seems to be wanting to start on a rather interesting note when you take into account the way 2013 ended with things like railroad train cars full of hydrocarbon goo blowing up in North Dakota and whatnot. Our good friend John Wathen, the Hurricane Creek Keeper down out of Tuscaloosa County, Alabama, you may recall he was reporting on the train derailment and explosion in Alabama. He was the first on the scene with the Christmas coal ash disaster some years back, and by God, he's in North Dakota now trying to find out exactly what's going on with that godforsaken train derailment and explosion up there. So those sorts of things and this. I know. Over on Radio Rwanda, even as we speak, they're probably hooting something about, well, they're having a blizzard, so much for global warming. Santa's white, you know, just like snow is. Global warming. Hoax. But, of course, weird stuff like this is what you expect out of a global climate change model. Because it is weird. It is, in fact, weird. We're expecting to get blue-ass cold here as well. I'm hoping, well, throw in some extra covers on the bed this evening. And just trusting in the incredibly expensive space heater and a closed door to help along with those things. But when temperatures do start getting down into that minus country, exercise extreme caution, and if you're somewhere that pipes can and will freeze, try to make sure that doesn't happen. Yes, we will be leaving a drip running this evening, because it sucketh when one's pipes doth freeze. Yeah. So here in this first thorn in the side Thursday of, I think Miss Kitty is in the room here. Here in this first thorn in the side Thursday of the new year, we have an abundance of stuff to discuss. Marty noting, I guess Radio Rwanda isn't talking about the bone dry, i.e. drought conditions, while breaking numerous temperature records here in California. Oh, you're supposed to be dry. Right. Because it never rains in California. They wrote a song about that, didn't they? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, they did. I think it's on AM Gold Classics for 1973. Who knows? So whatever you want to bring to the table for this Thorn in the Side Thursday is completely wide open. Oh, program note. Program note. No program tomorrow evening. Now, like I said, we've got an appointment in Charleston, and given what the weather's going to be like, the odds of getting back here in time for airtime are slim to none. If it should happen, I'll be here, but don't count on it. In fact, let's say we won't be here, because there's nothing quite like creeping up Gauley Mountain in falling snow, and this is not an avoidable appointment or a re-stead. So no Friday on the front porch tomorrow, and it's kind of short notice, I suppose, but Sparky, if you want to light the bat signal or the bob signal or the horn signal or whatever we're calling it, we can do a little Thursday on the front thorn porch thing this evening if you want to, because it's right fun. Oh, wow, how lovely. It's 129 degrees in parts of Australia. Is Texas T noting that in the chat room. Is that right, Robert, if you're there? Oh, my God. Nothing to see here. This is not the global warming you were looking for, right? Yeah. Had a bunch of very interesting stories with which to end 2013, some of which remains relevant, as well as the stuff that we've got just for this evening alone. And because it's the way that my mind works, I can't help asking questions like this. We've had a derailment of tar sands crude in Quebec that killed 50 people in 2013, and then we've had these two derailments, one in North Dakota, one in Alabama. We've had spills, unreported, sort of double secret probation spills in North Dakota. And I remember a story from a month or so back talking about rail's capability to deal with the output of the tar sands moonscape in the event that the Keystone XL pipeline didn't get builded. Now, I'm not going to, well, I don't want to get anything started, but is it possible that the mercenary, soulless, reprehensible, despicable, remorseless, miserable, hateful, poisonous, toxic oil industry would use a derailment like this as an that just proves we need to build the pipeline. That's all effort. I mean, we can't do the rail. You know, train cars blow up sometimes. Even without no terrorists nearby, sometimes they just spontaneously combust. And that's a big word for goes boom. So we better build that pipeline on the double quick. I mean, we don't like spills any better than you do. But golly gee, I think it'd be better to have a spill in one place than have tank cars blowing up all over creation, wouldn't it? Watch. Just watch. It'll be there. It'll be there. Because, oddly enough, and this story is actually a week or so old, but did you know that the United States has a Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration? FMSA? FMSA. Well, we do. The Wall Street Journal claims to have seen a letter back in November and wrote about it about a week and a half ago. FMSA has decided that it is not interested in modifying regulations to make underground pipelines safer. Congress had ordered FMSA to examine its policies after a couple of ugly little pipeline busts like Billings, Montana, ExxonMobil. Yeah. The oil went to the Yellowstone River for anybody that gives a damn. And another spill sent some 3,300 barrels. Well, that's a couple of thousand barrels among friends of natural gasoline got dumped into the Missouri River Basin. And FMSA said, "Nah, we don't need no more safety regulations. We're already killing enough jobs with our job killing regulations as it is." Oh, really? The FMSA declared existing legislative authority is adequate to address the risks of hazardous liquid pipeline failures at major river crossings. Yeah, okay. So, strap in. It's going to be a heck of a fun ride. It's going to be a real laugh riot, don't you know? This year, 2014. Got a couple of stories that I didn't have the heart to get into, what with the new year coming and everything. So let's go ahead and deal with those. You know how this is all. I'm such a wimp. I mean, you just know what this is about, don't you? Yeah. Two stories. One out of South Carolina, Stan, and one out of Appalachia, Stan. Yeah. They have to do with our endless willingness to sacrifice perfectly decent human beings on the blood-soaked altar of our God, the Second Amendment. I'll back up before I jump into it. This from Kate on the Front Range in Montana. Oh, Bob, it's already happening. An energy minister in Ottawa has already made the statement regarding the safety of pipelines because the safety of rail travel is in question, as heard on CBC a night after the North Dakota explosion. I promise I didn't know anything about that. I just have a sixth sense. Not sixth, six. A sixth sense for how the minds of these hydrocarbon-fueled sociopaths operate. So no, really, another story about protecting freedom. Wolverines! Here in Merca, this one out of West Virginia, WOWK reporting. I know this community. It's called Comfort. It's in Boone County. It's in the Mountaintop Removal Sacrifice Zone, where hopelessness is more easily to be found than even coal. It happened today. A man, a husband, we do not know the details, except for the fact that he had easy and rapid access to firearms because, well, that's just a butcher's bill we're willing to pay. I remember Tuesday evening reporting on the story out of Florida about the man who threw a turkey neck at his wife. Well, this ain't that. No turkey necks here. Miss Kitty, get down off the mixer. No, very little detail, but a man used a pair of pistols to shoot and kill, otherwise known as murder, his wife, and then he shot and killed himself. He did this while his 6 and 10-year-old children were watching. As of this hour, the two children, 6 and 10 years old, are in foster care under the custody and control of the West Virginia Department of Child Protective Services. Mercy. She had 2 gunshot wounds, he had 1. I don't have any names, I just hope it's nobody I know. But isn't that rather callous, too? I wish it was no one at all. I wish this country was not obsessed with firearms to the point that we're willing to say that, oh, that's just the price of freedom. I mean, if you're going to keep everybody free and have guns out there in case the government decides to ever roll up into your driveway with a armored personnel carrier and 15 or 20 UN soldiers carrying automatic weapons and grenades and shotguns and knives and bombs, and well, you know, you got to make sure you got something to hold them back with. We got anybody out there in the Horn family commune with an experience in psychology? I mean, I know we've got Horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, but I don't know if he's listening this evening. But could somebody give me an idea, please, of what kind of psychological and psychiatric work is going to have to be done? How much therapy, for how long, for how many years, to try to take the nightmares out of the minds of a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old who watched their daddy protect freedom against their mommy and turn from a lawful gun owner into an awful gun owner in probably less than 1/100th of a second? Anybody? What is that therapy like? I imagine a whole bunch of it has to, well, I have no imagination whatsoever about this process. None at all. Every now and then I'll have a nightmare myself here at the tender age of almost 51. And I'll see that photo I saw when I was 7. The one of my brother with his head tilted over to one side and his brains coming out the side of his head. And so, and I never got any therapy. I never got any counseling. The day it happened, one of my father's friends from work came by, and he and his wife kindly took me out for ice cream. That was about the extent of it. Not saying anybody did anything wrong. It's just what it was. But is it possible to heal from? And I mean, I didn't see the event happen. I just saw one of those sort of poorly lit from a flash bar, grainy instant Polaroid photos that was taken when they were rolling him in DOA into the emergency room at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta. How do you treat some people who have had this, who have witnessed this kind of trauma? Because if this doesn't impose post-traumatic stress disorder, I don't know what would. Or is this one of those moments when the expert says something like, well, you know, children are surprisingly resilient in the face of trauma like this, and lower. I don't know. And I'm sure that this will be, to the extent it is discussed at all, I am sure that this will be discussed sort of in a vacuum. Okay, we have a name now. 45-year-old Bobby Hatcher killed his 34-year-old wife, Reba. State police did confirm that the children saw it, and they ran into the yard, into a neighbor's yard, screaming. Sergeant Charles Sutphin of the West Virginia State Police, according to WOWK TV 13, says the smallest one was pretty shook up, pretty upset. And then this paragraph, relatives said Bobby, originally from Raleigh County, had lashed out at least once before last year. David Adkins, Reba's uncle, said about him all the time. What did he do to her and stuff? And there it is. Behold the coelacanth. Bobby worked as a rock truck driver for Alpha Natural Resources, according to his Facebook page. Alpha Natural Resources is the successor in interest to Massey Energy. But we won't talk about that. We won't talk about the way the workers are abused. Or the nefarious hell in which they live. Adam Grizzle, a former co-worker of Reba Hatcher, said the world is a darker place because she's not here. I can imagine. I can well imagine. So that's just one of them. Because there's two. Oh, yes. There's two. Marty, I haven't seen any of the details beyond what I just shared. We don't know if Roger had been drinking. Just don't know. God Almighty. And then, of course, South Carolina Stan. Because remember, nobody protects freedom quite like South Carolina Stan protects freedom. They protected freedom so good that they even got out cannons 150-some years ago and took some pot shots at a federal installation out in Charleston Harbor. That's how serious they were about their state's rights and their constitutional freedoms. You betcha. So, down in Lawrence County, South Carolina, Stan, according to WYFF, some visiting was going on. 12-year-old little girl was visiting with some friends at the friend's mobile home when a 15-year-old juvenile suspect walked into the trailer at about 6:30 p.m. carrying a gun. And shot the 12-year-old. Fifteen-year-old boy blew away a 12-year-old little girl. The victim was Hope Alexandria Fair. She will not get to be a 13-year-old this year because Wayne LaPierre is afraid that blue-helmeted U.N. troops are going to pour across the Texas border and take away his guns. The shooter, the 15-year-old, we might well ask, well, how the hell does a 15-year-old get hold of a gun in South Carolina, Stan? Well, he took it from his grandma's car. Because Granny always needs a freedom protector when she's out tooling around the wilds of South Carolina, Stan. You never know when some wild-eyed heathen is gonna try to relieve her of either her honor, her dignity, or her money, or all of the above. Or the aforesaid blue-helmeted UN troops come pouring across the Georgia line, or the North Carolina line. Happens that way. Little girl's mama said of the 15-year-old boy, "I know it was an accident, and he'll have to pay for that accident for a long time. I feel sorry for him. I'm losing my daughter forever. His parents are going to lose their kid for a long time, too. Don't count on it, Mama. Don't." Twelve-year-old sister said, "Someone doesn't need to leave a gun laying out where kids can grab it." Maybe Granny doesn't need to be driving around with a shooting iron. In her automobile. But you know what? It'll all be all right. Because also down South Carolina Stanway, the Democrats, not just the Republicans, but Democrats, are behind Bill H-3526, calling on school teachers to lead a moment of silence at the beginning of each school day, during which the teacher would be allowed to deliver a prayer. Students who didn't want to participate would be allowed to leave the classroom and thus call attention to themselves and make themselves pariahs for the rest of the school. Because, well, you gotta be a Judas goat somewhere, right? And not just some, but most of the co-sponsors of age 3526 turned out they're Democrats. Wendell Gilliard, Robert Williams, Joseph Jefferson, Carl Anderson, Liston Barfield, Bill Clyburn, Heather Ammons Crawford, she's a repig licking, Lonnie Hosey, Robert Ridgway III, and Don Wells, he's a repig licking too. The rest of them's Democrats. They think their bill's going to get past the Supreme Court challenge because it's got a compromise in it. Wendell Gilliard said, the compromise would be to have the students to pray to whomever they want to. If they want to do away with teachers conducting the prayer, that would be fine with us. The essential part of the bill, the important part, is putting prayer back in school. Gosh, maybe if they get the bill passed and signed, the first thing they could pray for would be for a little 12-year-old girl to get to be a 13-year-old. Nah. South Carolina stand. They'd be praying that Muslim Kenyan with the deep-seated hatred of white people wouldn't be allowed to come and take away their freedom-protecting firearms. Right? I mean, we are talking about South Carolina stand, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Just checking. On and on and on it goes. But just in case, by the way, just in case you happen to be in one of these states being hammered by Winter Storm Hercules, you will be pleased to know that climatology expert Stuart Varney has good news. Very good news. Yes, he does.
52 of the passengers aboard the research vessel stranded in the Antarctic ice have been rescued. The ship, sent to the Antarctic to study climate change, has been stranded in the ice for 10 days.
Notice the irony, the vocal scare quotes. The ship sent to the Antarctic to study climate change. Yeah. Let's get it all. Come on, Stu.
About this. All 52 of the passengers aboard the research vessel stranded in the Antarctic ice have been rescued. The ship, sent to the Antarctic to study climate change, has been stranded in the ice for 10 days. Attempts to rescue the passengers using icebreaker ships failed. Rescuers finally got through using a whopping great big helicopter that was landing on the supposedly very thin ice.
Whopping.
They're all out, okay? So it looks to me like we're looking at global cooling. Forget this global warming. That's just my opinion. All right, Sharp.
Right, that's just my opinion. Because I, after all, am a fool. Looks to me like we're looking at global cooling. Oh, for pity's sakes. Okay, I think there's a question involved. Do you have a question, Stuart? No, you don't. Mercifully, no. Thanks to our friends at Media Matters for grabbing that moment of genius. Not that the formation of ice in Antarctica would... No. There's a lot of ice in Antarctica. By golly, by Jiminy, look at all the ice. And they landed that whopping big helicopter on what was allegedly very thin ice. Well, it is the Antarctic summer. Wouldn't you expect the ice to be a little thinner than, say, in... why bother? And somebody get me tickets to this, would you please? Bill Nye the Science Guy is apparently going to debate. No, really. Creation Museum guy Ken Ham, you know, the guy who has the mural on the wall of Adam and Eve having a picnic in the Garden of Eden with some vegetarian tyrannosaurs quietly munching on the flora in the background. Really, it's there. I want the popcorn concession. Here's one that just makes me feel a little bit better, actually. Because nobody got dead out of all this freedom protected. Now remember, it's not the guns that are causing the problems in America, it's the crazy people who get them, but we can't have background checks for the crazy people. And I don't mean to use that word crazy derogatorily. It's a shorthand of sorts, but I think it's probably got, it's tinged with some bigotry there somewhere. Probably ought to be more careful about that. But no, story out of the Tampa Bay Times of 50-year-old David Harris Dunaway. He got pulled over for speeding down Florida Way, somewhere near the home of the University of Florida, Gainesville, Florida. And it turns out when he was pulled over for speeding, there was actually a federal arrest warrant out for him because he'd been indicted by a grand jury in Tampa on gun charges this past December 18th. Grand juries are allowed to do that in Florida? Who knew? The indictment out of Tampa alleged that he had 50 rounds of ammunition and a pistol, which is illegal for Mr. Dunaway to have because Mr. Dunaway was deemed in a trial to be criminally insane after he protected freedom by blowing away a truck driver back in 1992. So when they ran the license and the registration and the plates and everything there east of Gainesville, Florida, and the arrest warrant popped, and they took Mr. David Harris Dunaway into custody, well, it turns out the indictment was wrong. Mr. David Harris Dunaway did not have, in fact, a pistol and 50 rounds of ammunition. Oh, hell no. He, in his green Honda van, the arresting deputy found 36 firearms and 4,629 rounds of ammunition. Whew. Wow. His explanation, Mr. Dunaway's explanation? I'm on my way out of the flea market. I'm going to sell some of my guns. Remember, he was judged criminally insane. That's the difference between That's the difference between Tlawele or Xolopitli. Xolopitli means harmlessly deluded. Tlawele means criminally insane and likely to do mayhem and lots of damage. Mr. Dunaway appears to be Tlawele. The The 1992 murder took place around Ocala, Florida. Mr. Dunaway asked for a ride. Mr. Dunaway asked the trucker for a ride. The trucker said no, he wasn't insured for that, at which point Mr. Dunaway maced the truck driver, Leonard Brower, in the face, pulled out his Freedom Protector, hit him in the head, pistol whipped him with it. Once he had him down on the floor, pumped three bullets into him. That's 1992. When the deputy showed up, Mr. Dunaway said, "Forgive me, for I have sinned." And of course, he is forgiven now. Absolutely. Upon being inquired of, the psychologist who testified as to Mr. Dunaway's criminal insanity said, "Well, if I recommended insanity in that case, he must have been insane. But this here is the United States of America, and even if you're a judge criminally insane, that doesn't mean we're not going to put you back out on the streets because, well, after all, F them, right? Mental health care? Please. What do you think this is? One of those sissy states with all that free health care?" Which reminds me of something. I was out on the road earlier today, and I heard a little bit from National Petroleum Radio. And again, I got a little sideways with the story because it was a story about something that does interest me and I think is very important, and that is the expansion of Medicaid. This particular story, however, had an element of what I think you and I would recognize as hippie punching about it. To wit, it was a story about, and the reporter kind of made the story about her because it was all about how she accompanied this physician who runs a clinic for indigent people along LA's Skid Row. It was all about how she accompanied him, and he introduced her to some of the people that he tries to entice into his clinic so he can get them signed up for what's called Medi-Cal, which is the California version of Medicaid. And as we're driving down the road, I'm thinking, why? Why this story about this subject? Because I could already, I'm after all these years, I guess I'm just tapped in and tuned into it. I could hear the right winger say, "See there, Marvelline? That's what you're getting with that Obamacare Medicaid socialism medicine expansion there. They're getting it to a bunch of homeless drunks and drug addicts who don't even want it. That's where your money's going. Not the hard-working, God-fearing, upstanding Christians who would never let ourselves get turned into some sort of mooching, loafing, welfare, homeless person." You can hear it. So, just putting on my little assignment editor hat, I got to thinking, why not send somebody out to learn about people who aren't homeless, who aren't living on LA's Skid Row? And this is by no means a manifestation of a lack of sympathy or concern for such people. But why not talk about somebody who's working three jobs and hasn't had health care in 15 years who is suddenly going to have health care through Medi-Cal? By the way, the number of people whose applications for the Affordable Care Act in West Virginia were massively screwed up, yeah, that number's risen to 18,000. Hi! I'm one of them. Why feed the right wing more fodder for their hate? Oh, well, good observation, Asa. Asa noting, going back to the Stuart Varney moment, these Radio Rwanda a-holes would tell you the sun doesn't exist because it gets dark at night. Well, hell, they probably think the sun gets pulled by a chariot back, goes to bed, and Apollo needs a nap. Brother. Just on and on and on. Robert in Australia with a note. Subject line, protecting freedom. Bob, those people who think they can protect freedom by standing up to blue-helmeted UN troops with their guns should understand they won't even see the missile that blows them into a million bits while it's coming. And by the way, Australia just had its hottest year on record. The official average temperature is up 1.2 degrees Celsius, and that's no one opinions. Them's just the facts from the Bureau of Meteorology. Ah, wait, that sounds like one of them job-killing government-regulating organizations. Probably full of comm simps. Yeah, Sandra with a tweet. Well, that's good news for you, Bob, right? Well, we shall see. It means having, and yes, it does indeed mean like something Jim was talking about the other night. It means going physically over to the office and saying, "Hi there, I'm Bob," and seeing what happens after that. I will continue to report. This in from Steve, subject line, Obamacare update. Bob, oh, how wonderful. I just got an update from Blue Cross Blue Shield. Turns out my doctor takes BCBS, but they don't know if he will take insurance from the exchange. Obama sucks. He's a goddamn corporate tool. So, there are no insurance plans that my doctor accepts. Remember, you have to ask that two or three times, though, if Darlene's experience is any indication, because maybe on the third time they'll say, oh, yeah, we do. Michael Moore, and I saw our buddy Horst post this to his Facebook. Michael Moore had an interesting op-ed in the New York Times. I guess if you're Michael Moore, you can get things like that in the New York Times. Hey, guys, I got an op-ed. In which he talked about what I think we all know about the Affordable Care Act. I mean, it was almost as though he'd been listening to the program for, hi, Michael. Hey, buddy. For a little bit. Because he said almost the very same thing. Progressives and liberals ought to be out in the streets hollering for universal single-payer health care. Because the Affordable Care Act is predicated upon a giant wealth transfer from us to the insurance industry. You know, more of that Robin Hood in reverse stuff. I mean, I read it this morning. Wow. I say it here, it comes out there. Goodness. So therein, well, okay, one last thing. I need to answer an email real quick. Had a note regarding Tuesday night's program and my remarks regarding the mutilation of the genitals of little boy babies. Lauren says, as a retired doc, an atheist, and a woman, I think you're a bit obsessed with the circumcision thing. Women like them better. Jesus is a fictional character, so he didn't have one. It would be really difficult to cut off the penis during doing one unless you were a total spaz. Well, I guess that means Rabbi Mordecai Rosenberg, was that his name, was a total spaz. There are, she says, rare side effects. It is true, usually not removing enough infections and occasional bleeding. Well, just as a way of explaining, this isn't just a single issue thing. Agnes and I didn't, my mother was the first one to point it out. She would see little newborn baby girls with their first starter earrings in their little pierced ears. I mean, we're talking about babies that were just a couple of months old, tops. And mom would say, you know, shouldn't that be the child's decision? And I agreed. So we didn't have our daughter's ears pierced. We waited until they were old enough to say, Mom, Dad, I want my ears pierced. Just like I think a little boy baby should be able to wait and look at his mom and dad and say, Mom, Dad, I want the end of my penis lopped off. Just think about that for a minute. If a little boy did come and say that, you'd say, Son, why do you want to do something like that to the... And if it were not something that were deeply embedded in, among other things, religious tradition, we'd probably want to get the little guy some counseling. Because remember, there is no consensus in the major pediatric medical associations as to whether it's any benefit at all. I just don't like mutilating any part of any person without their consent. I don't like doing much of anything to anybody without their consent. Now, granted, an infant cannot consent to receive the inoculations that will likely prevent the baby from getting diseases, really serious diseases. The baby cannot consent to having a heel stick in order to check for things like elevated bilirubin and, you know, postnatal jaundice. But that's not the same thing, is it? I mean, if a little boy is not mutilated at birth, which does, by the way, cause tremendous pain for the newborn. Hi, you're a new baby on the planet, and you're a little boy too. Here, let's make sure you start your life with immense pain in one of the places that has more nerve endings than any other place in your body. That couldn't possibly have any impact on that child. No. You were born to suffer. Let's get it started. I mean, there are cultures in the Americas who found crossed eyes to be a sign of great beauty and pointy heads to be an even equally beautiful thing. So when the baby was born, they would strap two boards to it, wrap it up real tightly, and hang a bead in front of the baby's eyes so that it'd be nice and crossed. This was mainly with the privileged class. We probably think that not terribly enlightened, don't we? Yeah, but lop the end of the little guy's unit off. Go right ahead. I mean, what's he need those nerve endings for anyway? Well, true. Everything has a purpose in this world. Marty noting, but Bob, what other excuse could Tim Tebow give for mutilating little boys on foreign lands? And by the way, if Josh McDaniels is hired by the Cleveland Browns, how long till little Timmy signs? Oh, he's got a righteous new gig with ESPN, though, Marty. You got to wonder if that'll even afford him time to go over to the Philippines like he likes to and participate in the penile mutilations of little boys. Don't know. So that there ends the first hour of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. No front porchery this evening. So if you want to jump into the conversation, feel free to use the Skype line, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, or 304-658-3333 on the traditional telephone lines. Either way is just fine by me. We'll get the conversation started. And by the way, thank you, Sal. Sal was first in this evening, so we're started and looking for folks to kick in and help us reach the remainder of our $150 first evening of 2014 fundraising. Be kind of nice to stay even. I mean, well, actually, if you count, I mean, I wasn't here last night, won't be here tomorrow night. But that actually works out to $350. But look, if we can just do $150, it'll be a big deal. Sandra. Via Twitter, Sandra said, oh no, ESPN's having a good wank over little Timmy. LOL. Please don't say that, because remember, there's still a football game coming up that will be called by America's nastiest sportscaster in an old raincoat, Brent Musburger. And remember, A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, are they married now? It comes from Auburn, so she'll probably be at the game. Okay, nobody's safe. It's kind of like going to Rocky Horror. You know, everybody bring your plastic, or a Gallagher show. Everybody bring your plastic sheeting. Brent Musburger. Oh, no. And she's pretty. Boy, I sure do grow them pretty in Alabama. I tell you what. Pretty. Oh, soft, George. Lordy. All right. Take a break and come back with your calls, 304-658-3333, or Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Got on board a westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do.
Yeah, I couldn't resist. I don't know. What year was that? Albert Hammond. It Never Rains in Southern California. The early 70s is all it says here. Oh, well. Why not, you know? So this is the horn. It's, Sparky noting, seems it never rains in the real Northern California either, Bob Kincaid. 71 today. And bone dry, too. No snow on Mount Shasta. Which is a bad thing. A very bad thing. Let's get right to the phone lines and stop the shilly-shallying and the dilly-dallying and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Same to you.
Hey, Bill. What's happening? Happy New Year. Happy birthday.
How many freaking years old am I now? Will you put it? Jesus Christ. I feel like him sometimes. Yeah, it was fun last night. I went with my buddy Colin DeSalt down to Akron and played a little bit. Well,
I was wondering if you'd jam with the gang.
Yeah, with a few guys. We can still hammer out a few things when our minds are at it, you know. Old farts that we are. That's just the way it is.
Do you mind me asking what you played?
We did Help Me, which is a Sonny Williamson thing, and then we did a variation on that that he and I recorded on one of his recordings. He's been instrumental in helping me with them. Just getting my mind off crap, and of course, so has our resident computer expert down in your part of the world. Actually, between my part of the world and yours.
Right.
I'm getting close. In fact, as of today, I learned it'll be a couple of weeks before I'm out of this hellhole and back in a place. You know what it is? It's Bob. I don't want to say anything, but to listen to people moaning and groaning. Of course, there are people who heard my band that said the same thing, so I'm very careful when I say that, you know. It's just been tough to, these holidays in these kind of places, no fun.
I won't profess to know, but I can well imagine.
Yeah, and the only fun I had was the Red Wings, game yesterday that they lost to Toronto. That's a hell of a thing, that outdoor hockey. That is, you talk about a trip back to history, buddy. That's it.
Oh, that's just brute force hockey, isn't it? I mean, that's,
oh yeah,
not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not, and I guess that's what it was about. But you hit it tonight with several things. This whole constant intensive interest in sexual mutilation. It just has me shaking what's left of my hair. And I don't do that much too often because, you know, you lose a little bit now and then, and it doesn't help any. But what is with these people? Are they just plain freaking crazy or what?
I don't know. I can't think of another thing that we would do to a baby. And everybody goes, oh, nah, it's no big deal. Hey, it ain't yours. You get whatever you want chopped on. Leave the kid alone.
I got a few people I've met in life whose necks I'd like to have chopped on, but, you know, it's not...
Right, but the state generally takes a dim view of such self-help measures, right?
Yeah, they have to wait till you call it religion.
Oh,
see, that's, oh.
There goes the toaster for tonight, everybody. You can give up now.
Thank you. Well, I always had this thing going on in my mind. We had a situation up here in northeastern Ohio where a guy, a fanatic from the Utah, the court of the king of Utah, pulled a stunt down here in Cleveland where he knocked off a whole family. And the prosecutor made a great name for himself. In fact, it helped him get elected to Congress, which he later resigned from a few years ago because he was too straight up to hold a job. I won't go into too much detail, but anybody who wants to know can look it up. Because this guy wipes out this whole family of Mormons. Now, you know damn well, if you and I did that, my lawyer would be pleading at the insanity plea like a horse chewing a bit.
You betcha.
But because this guy was a religious man, you couldn't come out and say, well, folks, the reason he wiped out this whole family is he's stark freaking raving nuts. But, oh no, it was a religious belief. So we have to buy that kind of crap.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you're going to be off tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, and not that we're out there living the large life. This is an appointment that can't be missed.
Oh, well, I hope it's not something that's serious to the point of medical problems.
No, it's just it takes so long to get these things set up. You can't miss them, because if you do, it'll be another generation before the next opening comes up.
Well, believe me, I just got the word today that I was complaining to the staff at this outreach joint where they send you from this little town of Lakewood, Ohio. They ship you over to this small place. And I said, hey, look, my regular MD is a member of the Cleveland Clinic. What the hell? Why the hell did you guys grab my case? Why wasn't I referred back through the clinic to one of their people and not to you clowns here? Which, of course, makes me a real... They really like me when I use terms like that.
Oh, yeah, that gets all kinds of fun things written in your file.
I am not convinced of medicine at all. I had a guy pull a...
Well, there's a reason they still refer to it as being practiced.
Yeah. Well, this guy pulled a stunt. He's very European, very central... He's not actually European. He's central. He's from... how can I put this? He's quite serious about what he practices, if you get my drift.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this guy has this pinpoint thing where he takes his first finger and his thumb and he flips them against his nose. Now, I haven't seen people do that outside of a sporting event.
Isn't that called the old bazoo?
Yeah, because that's usually answered with a left hook and a right cross, or a beer bottle. I mean, I didn't see much religious about that at all. But he has this, and they're telling you all the stuff they're going to do to you. Just shut up. You know, either do it or don't do it. But there's not that much to do. The problem I'm having here is with this alleged health deal. Bob, for weightlifting, they have rubber weights. Rubber weights for weightlifting. Now, I used those when I was 11. You filled them up with water and tried to lift them, but I'm a 6 center, I'm sorry. But in all honesty, these are a nice bunch of people, but they have no money. When I went to, after I had what was it, 1991 or 90, when I was a young kid, I was under, just around 50 when I had the damn thing. Hell, I went through a full rehab class. Of course, I was young at the time. I set a record because of the youth and my own youth involved. But my God, they don't have any weight, they don't have any walking machines, small bikes, nothing. And they also didn't have, they don't have units to strap on your body and can read on a central reading device across the room. I went out and bought a, I own a couple of these things that go on your, one part goes around your waist, one part goes on your wrist, and you can automatically watch your rate, your exercise rate, because those are... You have no doubt been through that stuff with the weight situation, wanting to see what when you're in conditioning, what you should be working at,
Right, yeah.
And anyway, these are wonderfully nice young people. But my God, this is what we call a health care, what's the word I'm looking for, improvement situation?
Yeah.
Oh,
under the loosest of definitions, yes.
Well, send me that pretty nurse and let her kiss the top of my forehead and tell me what my temperature is. Because that's about the same type of improvement, you know, as other stuff, which is... Excuse me, sir, I'm on the phone. Sorry.
No worries. No worries.
Sorry, I'm on the phone. I can't help you any. People are walking around trying to bum cigarettes. They got all the windows and doors locked in here.
It's not like you can smoke in the building either, is it?
Well, that's the oldest joke in the world, because I hate to tell you how many people in here that are over 60 are smoking like fiends. And the bottom line is, who the hell cares after all?
Well, sure.
You know, if all that's going to happen to you is crap, yeah, you might as well smoke the crap and enjoy it, you know? I mean, I know I'm a cynical person. But it doesn't, that's not me. I've dropped that stuff so bad, I look at it like it's something you put on your hot dog, you know, and call a horse.
Yeah.
Horseradishes. That's where it's at its best, by the way, is on a good hot dog or a good Polish boy.
Oh, by the way, and you'll be tickled by this, I think, you will be pleased to know that in preparation for our New Year's Eve goodies, one of the things, I went to my local Big Lots, Bill, and it was just suspicion. I just had a feeling. And lo and behold, sitting there, ranked on the shelf, row upon row, so that, and you never know what's going to be there from one week to the next, so I bought four bottles.
Yeah.
Four bottles of original Cleveland Stadium mustard, and that's what went on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are they using there besides, well, horseradish and some other stuff goes in there that...
I don't know, but that's the best mustard I've ever eaten.
Yeah, it's kind of old-fashioned mustard, blended with this, that, and the other thing, but that's one of my big spoilers is me and chili dogs, Bob. Oh, man, if anything ever... I'm going to choke to death on one. I know if one of the facts, one of these days, one of those will get me. And then I've been going around and around with that dish that I have a hard time remembering the name for. It's from Vienna. Vienna Schnitzel. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I have such a taste for that. I feel like. You ever get the feeling that murder would be a good way to get your hands on a good dish? That's when you know you're really hungry. And I had so much of that in my life. Being in northeastern Ohio was loaded with good ethnic cooking, and
one of those great big plate-sized Wiener Schnitzels. You know, it takes up the whole plate, pounded just paper thin. Oh yeah, I can get real worked up about that real quick. I had it done up in Germany as Jägerschnitzel.
Schnitzel.
Which means hunter schnitzel. Deer? Hunter. Jäger means hunter.
Okay, I didn't know what.
And it was done up with this mushroom and onion cream sauce. Holy cow.
Well, if you ever get up to Buffalo, there was a family place in Niagara Falls that had been in business since the 30s. And they brought out a wooden platter of stuff, and my first wife and I went up there, we ate the whole thing, and the waitress comes by and looks at us and says, you know, the whole thing. And Wendy, hell, I was 27, and my poor wife was only about 23, and we scarfed that thing down. We practically made toothpicks out of the platter. I mean, that's how we devastated that stuff.
Yeah, don't take
anyway,
it. There's a crumb left. You can't have it yet. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we had it. I understand your passion for chili dogs. We used to have a saying, chili dogs bark at night.
Yes. Well, we had a joint down here on St. Clair. It was connected. It was right across from one of the biggest truck makers in the world, and it was called Victory Lunch. And the trucks themselves were these. I can't think of the name of them. The engine tilted forward. It was a tilt cab. And, man, they built... I mean, with the stuff we built in our country that we were able to ship overseas, That you talk about a big contribution to beating the Nazis was that kind of stuff. Two of the most uncommon people in the world, the Soviets and the U.S., building this stuff to beat the Nazis with. When you think about it, it gives you a kind of incongruity in your thinking patterns, you know? Because Uncle Joe wasn't exactly a Boy Scout leader.
No.
And
although I have read that he did, he could carry quite a tune back when he was in the monastery seeking to become a priest.
Yeah, I remember that story that he wanted to be one. Yes. A hustle is a hustle is a hustle.
Yeah, but it'd have been far better off if somebody would have let him be one. There's a few million people that might otherwise wish he had been allowed.
Yeah, I made really good friends with a guy from the country between Russia and Europe. What the hell was the name of the place? They arrested a guy as a Nazi guard from that nation.
Oh, John Demjanjuk.
Yeah, what was the name of that country that he was from?
Wasn't he from Ukraine?
Ukraine, thank you. Yeah, because one of my best buddies is Ukraine, and he explained that whole starvation that Uncle Joe put them on. And that's the one thing people keep saying, you keep coming back with history. Well, you keep learning more and more and more. As I said, one of my other favorites was when the Japanese seized Burma, and all the rice that the British had been exporting to India was suddenly stopped by the fact that the Japanese grabbed it. Of course, we blamed that on the Japanese. But about 3 million Indians died of starvation. And during that period, not because of the... So we can blame it on the Japanese, because, by God, why should they have taken rice that England was sending to India? Can you figure that one out?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, those are the kind of things that make you think a lot, and it keeps happening. And please do not mention the Cleveland Browns and Tim Tebow in the same breath, please. Because
there's a possibility there.
I know. Well, I'm calling upon the ghost of Otto Graham to come down and give you a good haunt if you pull that one out. Or even Frank Ryan, for that matter, or a few others I can think of, but oh my God, not him. That guy has got. And what was with that team that they hired this guy and they fired him yesterday? What did they expect?
Well, they want instantaneous success.
Oh God!
And
buy a lottery ticket.
Well, there's that. Buying a struggling NFL franchise is what the 1% does instead of buying a lottery ticket.
Yeah, I guess.
But you got to. Based on the game yesterday between Texas A&M and Duke. Duke was running away with that thing until the punk kid from Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel, led a comeback. And I mean, I don't like the kid. I don't like him at all.
I don't know enough about him.
Well, this is the guy who was out there hustling autographs and felt like he ought to be able to.
I knew he was doing that.
And then he screwed up and came off the sideline screaming at his coach earlier this year. I mean, can you imagine a quarterback coming off the field screaming at Bear Bryant or Woody or Bo Schembechler or any of the Joe Paterno? No. But this kid did. I think he's a son of privilege. His daddy is an oil millionaire or billionaire maybe. And this is the kid that Fox Sports compared to Rosa Parks.
Oh Jesus!
For selling autographs.
Oh God!
Because he was bringing freedom to college athletics. I mean, it really did. It was like sticking a feather down the road. It would tickle the gag reflex real quick.
But
don't be surprised if he doesn't wind up in a Browns uniform if he goes in the draft.
Oh brother! I quit. I quit following the Browns very heavily after Modell fired Paul, because I was such a kid convinced of the value of the Cleveland Browns in the time you're in your early, you know, your early 20s. Hell, I mean, winning division after division, that when Modell fired him, it was like a bone stuck in my throat from there on in. And maybe it was not true, because Art was a good guy as far as he raised a lot of money for the Cleveland Clinic and did a hell of a lot of good with his dough, so I can't say anything too much. Speaking of which, I wanted to say a quick thanks to the family, a couple of them, Mr. Rice Man and our buddy down there in, you know, south of you, south of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my buddy in Colorado, who turned me on to some of the best old radio shows in the world, and great personality, and my buddy, who I have heard nothing from in the Columbus area lately. I don't know whether he must have figured I owed him some money. I haven't heard a word from him. But, all in all, the family has been so supportive that I'm just delighted, and I appreciate it. And let me clear the decks. Hopefully Jim's got a load of sarcasm, which I always, one thing I appreciate in anybody's historic opinions is a good load of sarcasm. It goes over big with me. I don't know why. I guess humor or whatever you want to call it. When somebody nails somebody, but you hit it on the head. Maybe the Cleveland Browns, this guy's been selling so many blow-up condoms and such in the, you know, and the truck stops that he figures he really knows how to run a football team already.
Well, there's...
Anyway,
go ahead. I was going to say Haslam. Bill Haslam has his own history down Tennessee way.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's apparently...
Call me, sir.
Oh, he made his fortune off of a string of truck stops.
Yeah, that much I know, yeah.
And then later on... later, there was a huge scandal in the last year or so, big political kerfuffle over, oh God, I can't remember the particulars, but you know, he's just another spoiled billionaire, you know, wanting his way.
Yeah.
By the way, Isaac just tweeted at me and said, "Tell Bill I said hello and put down that towel."
Ah, sick man that he is. Thank you, Isaac. Yeah, but there's so many things. The only thing I used to like about the old truck stops years ago when you're traveling state to state, you could buy a pretty cheap handgun pretty good, which when you traveled a lot as a musician, it was like, yeah, it wasn't that cool, you know? I mean, after all, you got to remember, I'm a guy who grew up, you had to have a double set of Roy Rogers pistols in order to survive, you know? It didn't work that well unless you had both of them. I mean, Gene Autry only had one cheapskate. So, what can I tell you? Anyhow, stay out of trouble, and I hope to be back in touch on my own phone, not too far away. And thanks to
we're all looking forward to the happy news, Bill.
Hook me up.
All right.
You take care, my friend.
All right, you too, Bill. We'll talk soon. Bye now.
Good night.
Our buddy Bill, calling from not yet home Cleveland. And hopefully he'll be into his own new digs in a matter of a couple of weeks. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jeremy. What's happening?
I know. I watched the program this weekend. It was called America Exposed or something like that. And it got me thinking about Appalachia. It was a program that dealt with a small town in Pennsylvania. It used to be a coal town. You've probably heard of this town. I don't know if you have, but it's a nightmare story. Essentially, the town had a large dump. And through the 40s, 50s, and 60s, when the dump got full, they'd burn it.
Oh, is this where they caught the old coal mine on fire?
Yes.
Yeah. Still burning?
Still burning as of last year at 1,000 degrees under the ground.
Yeah, they had to evacuate the whole town.
Yeah, the whole town basically, other than a few diehard people, the town is gone. Not a single house is claimed by fire. It's all because the fire underneath the ground is sucking up so much air that the carbon monoxide is displacing it and killing people if they stayed.
Yeah. And well, there's the stuff you can't see can kill you. So it's not good for you.
Exactly. Right. But I was just kind of in shock. I mean, they put a meter down on the ground, and they had a couple of boreholes where they've drilled over the past couple of decades to check on it occasionally, and they put their hands over it. It was so hot they couldn't keep their hands over the air hole.
Oh, no.
It was all from a couple embers, I guess, that had been washed in when they went to wash down the trash. They never covered up this old mine hole. So it was actually quite shocking and horrific at the same time. I can only imagine, because there was no insurance for this kind of thing. You just basically uprooted and told them leave or possibly die.
Oh, and it's been going, what, 50 years now?
It's been going 50 years, and they said it'll probably go another 50 years.
Yeah. Nasty.
Not just that, the guy had a drone, not like we think of a drone, but a helicopter with a little camera on it, sent it up, and did an infrared shot, and the whole area, I mean, like the whole town is just a blaze of red still underneath the ground. So it was quite, never heard this town before. I'm surprised it's not more widely known.
It's known in some quarters, but not so much in others. It's just, there's nothing different there for the for-profit media to parachute into. So why bother? You know, it's just another victim of the coal and hydrocarbon industry. So what? Big deal. Nothing. Move along.
And the guy that went into the check out this town, essentially they went into a neighboring town nearby where they were still part of a coal operation in another town, I guess. And the guy had mentioned that this vein of coal went for 2,000 feet in both directions. And he said it was a particularly pure type of coal, like 98.9% pure carbon.
Yeah, cannel coal.
Yeah, he said it burns hotter and longer than any other coal known to man.
Right.
So I basically saw that, and I was just kind of taken back and shocked by it. I wondered if you'd heard of this town, but obviously you have.
Well, I'm glad you learned about it, though.
Oh, I wish more people would see it, honestly. I mean, it's just a small one of the small horrors that can happen in a coal town. I mean, this could happen in any coal town, theoretically.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and they do. I mean, it was a massive release and accumulation of methane gas that led to the explosion that roasted 29 people alive at Upper Big Branch a couple of years back. And this, by the way, is the anniversary. This here day right here is the anniversary of the Sago mine explosion. Of some years back.
I remember one happening in January not too long ago.
Yeah, this was, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
And the coal company said, well, I think our mine got struck by lightning.
Yeah. No, that's probably because they didn't have proper ventilation, so they weren't getting the methane out of the mine, and some freak spark below actually set it off. That's probably the ugly truth about it.
Well, you know, it's hard to, I mean, any kind of a spark.
Well, wasn't Macy and these other operations, I've been fined countless times for safety violations.
Oh, sure. Millions of dollars. Millions.
As I say, to them, it's still a slap on the wrist and basically, okay, well, carry on, and next time OSHA comes through, we'll fine you again. We're not gonna...
Well, remember, there was a Massey settlement for environmental violations and mine safety regulations. A few years back, and it's not a joke, Jeremy. The state of West Virginia allowed Massey to pay the fine in rocks, not money, rocks, which Massey then assigned an arbitrary retail value to, and we brought you your dump truck full of fines. Yeah, rocks.
You know what I haven't seen in a while in this area is one of those BP commercials. They seem to have dissipated and disappeared after the tourism season went away.
Well, that's because BP is in court trying to get out from under its obligations.
Yeah, I saw a while ago that they basically threw up their stop sign, said, "But we paid enough. We don't have to pay anymore. We've done our due diligence. We've done cleaned up. It's all gone. Don't worry about it anymore."
Yeah, nothing to see. Again, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I think we all know that the Exxon Valdez that crashed in Alaska, they still haven't paid a cent for that cleanup, and that was 22 years ago or something like that.
Thereabouts.
And there's still tar balls washing up on any given day.
And will be for 100 years or more. I mean, not just that, but in the recent past, when I started the program out talking about these spills in North Dakota and train explosions in North Dakota and Quebec and Alabamistan. But in particular, North Dakota has such a piss-poor environmental department that they let one spill go unreported for something like 2 weeks. Well, we didn't think it wasn't going to harm anybody, so we didn't think anybody needed to know. And it's 3,000 gallons here and, you know, a few hundred barrels there, or a few thousand barrels. It, big deal. You know, think about all the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons that got created when that giant fireball blew up out of that train, you know, last week. And that's a lot of toxins.
And now they're all coming back down. And that's why they're telling the people in the surrounding towns, hey, you better get out of here they haven't said for how long, but for as long as it takes for this stuff to fall back to Earth and pollute everything.
But of course, we could never, Jeremy, look at these fossil fools and say, tell you what, just to make sure that you're not lying to us, we're going to let you build your pipeline, and we're going to insist that you build your own house and the houses of your friends and family and neighbors and children, and you're all going to live right next to the pipeline. Because then we'll know you're serious about safety, because you'll be taking care of your own ass. We could never do that. So we just have to, you know, we just have to trust them, because after all, I mean, if this stuff blows up, they lose money. I mean, you know, they don't want this stuff to get to the market. I mean, they got to, sure, trust them. Absolutely.
I want to say that Vermont's not untouched by these tar sand pipelines. I wish we were, but we're not. We have a oil company here in the Northeast who just put in an order and asked the EPA to reverse their flow of their pipeline, and I believe they want to send it to New Hampshire. Now, why New Hampshire? Because of the ocean, so they start shipping this stuff out. So we have it flowing through our state now, too, to some degree, because our guys said, okay, it's fine, just let it go.
Yeah, why not?
It's only a 50-mile stretch, and what could happen in 50 miles?
Right. What could possibly go wrong?
It's like a 12-foot pipe, too. So, I mean, it's just a small amount of oil that ever blew or leaked or something. I mean,
look, accidents happen.
Right. Well, Bob, I'll clear up the lines. That's basically all I want to tell you is my knowledge I learned this weekend about, or last night about that show in that small town, so. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Jeremy, and thanks for continuing to educate yourself on, some of the less broadly known aspects of life in the paradise that is Appalachia.
Anytime.
All right. Take care, Jeremy. Bye now.
Yeah, bye.
Our buddy Jeremy calling from Vermont, and onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
And how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Feet are warm. The rest of me's cold because for some reason or another, the heater's not working.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
That's okay.
I thought today was your day off or something.
No, that was yesterday.
No, for your appointment.
No, tomorrow.
Oh, I must have misunderstood because I thought you said Thursday.
No, I said Thursday and Friday were both in question, but Friday was far more in question than Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, it's glad to hear Mr. Stress, and it sounds like he's regaining his faculties and his sense of humor, which is very hard to do in a place of confinement like that.
Yeah, but if anybody could, he can.
Well, yeah, it takes a certain amount of resolve to overcome certain situations, that's for sure. And he sounded great, and glad to, like I said, he's doing pretty well.
And hopefully, like you said, he'll be back into his digs in, oh, a couple of weeks, tops.
Well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear it. And I'm wishing very well. I want to take issue with one thing, and I don't know why you started all this thing about circumcision of Christ and all this kind of stuff, but you and I have a difference on that, and we talked about it before.
Well, I mean, it's that's what it is. That's the way the church established the new year.
Well, that's fine. January 1st, of course, it's called by different names, but nonetheless, I'm not going to get into the liturgical aspects of what it's called. But nonetheless, I have several doctors in my family, and over the past couple of days, I've talked with them, greetings over the holidays and stuff like that. And they all three agreed that circumcision is a good thing, because they have seen in so many cases when men had to have it done, or even adolescents had to have it done for various reasons, it really became a very, very serious thing.
You know, I keep hearing that, Jim, and yet, oddly enough, it's not something that's widely practiced in many parts of the world. And they don't seem to have these massive problems like is, you know, brought out like what you just did.
Well, I think they have so many other problems. I guess that would be very...
I mean, I trust the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they don't take a position on it. They certainly do not say that it enhances or makes anything better or more healthy or less likely to infection or any of that stuff.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's your source. I have my own from acting.
I mean, if we had a deeply held religious tradition that says we cut the left ear off of every male child.
That's not the case, Bob, and you know it.
No, we don't have such a tradition, Jim.
That's not the case at all, and we're talking apples and oranges. But nonetheless, it's done as a palliative measure, a preventative measure for other problems, because if you ever talk to a grown man who had to have that done, you would not care to hear what he had to say.
And the problem is we can't talk to any infant boys who have had it done because they can't speak, nor can they give consent.
Well, nor can they give consent to shots and stuff like that.
Right.
But there is
a clear public health policy reason behind inoculations for things like measles and whooping cough and what have you.
You know, we just disagree on that, and, you know, according to my sources that are real, bona fide, and actually from practicing people who have had to deal with other physicians who've had to deal with people who've had to have this done in later on in life, they are to the contrary on that. And that's all there is to it.
Well, and again, that's fine, but you can tell your sources that the American Academy of Pediatrics is not in agreement with them.
Well, I don't think they'd agree with that either, because the American Academy of Pediatrics has not come to a final conclusive study on that, nor has it come to a conclusive study on as far as cleanliness and things of that nature. And no, I'm sorry. And, you know,
it doesn't make you right, Jim.
Well, it doesn't make you right either. But there's only one other person that I know of who is considered in history to have written about circumcision and called it a blemish. His name was Adolf Hitler.
Oh, please, Jim.
That's the truth. That's what he said. That's what he wrote.
And his came from a religious hatred, Jim.
I don't know what his came from, but nonetheless, that's just what he said. He called it a blemish.
Wow. I can't believe you just compared me to Hitler.
No, I'm not comparing you to Hitler. I'm simply comparing, basically, opinions about it. I mean, is.
Well, the ancients also thought it was bizarre.
Well, I don't know about that, but nonetheless, I'm not comparing you to Adolf Hitler. I'm just saying that's what he said about circumcision, and I'm comparing also to what you said about it being some type of mutilation, which I don't believe, and my sources don't believe either, and they're fine medical people.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad they're fine medical people, but it is mutilation.
Well, they don't think so.
It makes...
They don't. They, I actually,
well, give me okay, Jim. Give me one.
Actually,
give me one
preferred,
other part.
Wait a minute. I'm speaking, please. Said, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Give me one other part of the human body that, if you cut it off of a child, would not be deemed abusive and mutilational.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
right?
I don't know. As far as that is concerned, I mean, you know, you have certain, I guess, birthmarks and things that have to be dealt with, that were dealt with, you know, unfortunately, many of them were dealt with by radiation and stuff like that. And I can't specifically refer to a portion of the extended anatomy the way you've been going along about it.
Well, you know, this is the internet. I can say 6 million times.
Well, it sounds a hell of a lot better than pee-pee and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just...
Hey, I never even used tallywhacker, Jim.
Well, you can call it, you know, the dick of death. I don't care. But, I mean, that's just my opinion. I have a right to it, just like you have a right to yours. And you don't have to go off on a tangent when I compare you to Adolf Hitler. That's what he wrote. That's what he said.
Good.
So there it is.
He also liked dogs, too.
Do what?
He also liked dogs.
Yeah. Well, I like cats. And to tell you the truth, I can understand why he said, now that I know people, I prefer dogs.
You know, we've got a cat here, Jim. And despite the presence of a scratching post, she still far prefers to scratch it like door facings. I guess it's just more fun. Maybe it feels better.
It's more resilient, and it's more what their claws are designed to do.
And so I went and I looked up what happens when one has a cat declawed. I was horrified. It
well,
was sickening.
Well, it's not a good thing, because it makes the animal totally defenseless.
Well, not just totally defenseless, but it's not like they just take the claw out. They take the whole thing off up to the knuckle.
I understand that. I have cats. I've had cats, and I've never had one declawed.
And I will not. I won't do it to this poor little animal.
But, I mean, you have them neutered.
She's not.
Well, you have them neutered, and they should be neutered, because if you don't, it's a very unkind thing for them. If they're not neutered or spayed, it drives them absolutely crazy when they go into heat, or when they're, you know, become aware of the fact that, you know, they want to spray and stuff like that. There's a definite medical reason behind neutering and spaying. If you want to have your house smell like where a cat has marked his territory, knock yourself out. Or if you want to have a female who goes into heat every 6 weeks or whatever, and it's just absolutely miserable because she can't get out and have more kittens that can't be taken care of, then there it is.
Well, compare this. This just came in from
further to abortion and stuff like that. If you want to go on down this road, medical intervention.
Well, it's my road, Jim, so maybe I will. But Darlene just wrote in under the subject line moles and said, pediatricians typically won't even remove moles from a child's skin unless there's a sign of cancer.
Well, moles have a characteristic of revealing themselves, whether it's melanotic or amelanotic, and they can generally tell.
Right, but they won't even remove a mole unless it right. And that's not even necessarily mutilation.
I just
fail to understand philosophically, Jim, why it is that we manifest outrage over the barbaric practice of mutilating females.
Well, I'm not talking about female circumcision. I'm talking about
and yet we, you know, we blithely just blow off taking a knife to the genitals of a newborn infant incapable of consent.
Well, you're not, and here we're going back to the previous conversation. But was not your own son circumcised?
I think that's his business.
Well, you made a comment that he was, and you didn't like it or whatever.
Did I? Well, in that case, that's true. Yeah, I objected to it.
But nonetheless, he was, and there it is. There you have it. I mean, it happens, and, you know, in later life, it does have benefits. That's what I'm trying to say. And, you know, you obviously don't agree with that, and that's fine.
No, Jim, it's not so much agree or disagree. It is a matter of consent.
There are things that you can't have consent for with a newborn child.
And most of those things we send people to prison for, Jim.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about there. But nonetheless, I'm talking about circumcision. I'm not getting off into other tracks and other things that will distract you from what I said originally. You know, I'm simply sticking to that.
Jim, I'm simply sticking to the notion that things like that that should be left to a matter of choice and consent.
I don't know why you... Well, I understand that, but, you know, you certainly have a varying series of...
Actually, I don't.
...opinions about a lot of things.
No, not really.
Medical stuff is, you know, are concerned. But that's one thing that had, shall we say, arisen in my mind as of a couple nights ago when you kept on and on and on about it, and I thought to myself,
I'm sorry if you don't like the way I program the program, but you know these are choices that I make, and I can't have a committee meeting to get someone's approval for it. But
well,
the fact of the matter is, it was tied in with the historical reason for the new year being where and when it is, and B, a rather interesting story out of Pittsburgh about a child whose genital mutilation went far beyond even this practice.
Well, that was a rabbi who was not medically authorized to do what he was supposed to do.
No, he was religiously authorized, which is all it takes.
No, well...
Yes, well...
As far as a Brit is concerned, there are definite problems with that, with having someone who is not a medical practitioner and has the skill to do what they need to do. Obviously, of course, that was wrong. But as far by and large, you know, there are benefits of it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you will please listen to what I'm telling
you. Jim, don't tell me to listen. Don't lecture me and don't talk down to me.
Don't lecture me.
This is no way to begin 2014.
Well, don't lecture me either if I have an opinion that differs from yours.
This is going nowhere, Jim. He's in rare form. Welcome to 2014. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, Edward.
Yes. Well, on the subject of circumcision...
Which I don't understand why people get so wrapped up about it. You know.
Well, when I was 10 years old, my father came in the bathroom when I was taking a bath, and I was in the bathtub, one of those great big old tubs with claw feet on it. You could practically swim in the damn thing. Anyway, and examined me, and he said, "You need to be circumcised." The reason being was that, can I get medical?
Sure.
My foreskin was non-retractable.
Then that's a problem.
Yes. And so he took me to the hospital. I was put in the hospital. I was knocked out, and it was done on me and everything, and I've never been sorry. Never.
Probably not, given the circumstances.
Yeah, never. Anyway.
And yet, what's nice is that you were of an age where it could be explained to you.
Yeah.
My position, Edward, goes not just to that, but to, like I said, we wouldn't even pierce the ears of our little girls.
Well, I'm glad my dad waited and did what he did at the time, but it was for my own health and everything, so it worked out real well for me. Anyway, now this is going to be dreadful. Well, first thing I'm going to do is tell you about the earthquakes in Azle, Texas.
Yes, we talked about those.
Yes. During the last year, they've had 20-some earthquakes, and they just can't figure out why it's happening, so they're doing a study on it. I can tell them they're being fracked and not even kissed.
Amen to that.
That's the truth.
And, you know, you wouldn't want any of those government job-killing regulating agencies down there trying to prevent earthquakes now, would you?
Hell no, my God. Well, speaking of guns, I have to apologize. I lied to you. I said that Dallas had this ordinance that prevented people from shooting guns on New Year's and 4th of July and that sort of thing. Well, this New Year's Eve, at the stroke of midnight,
oh, no.
I have never heard so many gunshots in my life. It sounded like World War III.
Baghdad on the Brazos?
Absolutely. And even friends who are native Dallasites, and I mean they are people that were born and raised here, said they had never heard such a thing in their lives. I was just shocked. Shocked!
Well, while you were ducking, right?
Yeah, damn right. Well, anyway, could I throw in a little bit of foodborne?
Absolutely.
Well, there used to be this restaurant in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was a Viennese restaurant, and they had a wonderful, wonderful dish, Wiener Schnitzel à la Holstein. It was a Wiener Schnitzel with poached eggs on it. Mm-mm. Some kind of good.
Oh, and that sounds wonderful.
And myself, I make a really good sauerbraten with ginger snap gravy. I do.
Wait, ginger snap gravy?
Mm-hmm. With sauerbraten.
Oh, my God, that sounds good.
Oh, it is. If you tasted it right now, you'd lie down on the floor and scream. And there was another dish I like to make. It was given to me by a young lady that was at a university where I was working. She was from Bavaria, and she gave me this recipe called Königsberger Klopse. It's little meatballs browned and then served with a vegetable sauce on them.
Oh, man.
Am I making you hungry?
I'm starving.
Oh, good. I must say, my sauerbraten is just marvelous. Oh, and the oysters you were talking about. I was with a friend.
The Bienville?
I beg your pardon?
Oysters Bienville?
No, the ones you make for New Year's.
Oh, the fried ones. Well, we do oysters, yeah. Bienville, and we do fried ones.
Yeah, well, anyway, I was visiting with my friend, his grandmother, in eastern Kansas. Her name was Mrs. Zettmeyer. She wasn't German, of course.
No.
Anyway, there was a big farm, and I was walking around, and there was a creek there, and I walked down to the creek, and I saw something, and I picked it up, and it was an oyster shell. So I went in, and I said, Mrs. Zettmeyer, I found this oyster shell out there in the creek. Where did it come from, do you think? She said, oh, they used to bring oysters in barrels of water on the train, and we had oysters. So?
Well, and that's probably the same way they were delivered here around Christmas time.
Absolutely. And her brother was the past president of the American Refrigerator Car Company or something. So she had plenty of oysters.
Wow. Well, we've got a little midden out here on our property where all the oysters, well, We can't get them in the shell anymore, so we have to buy them in a tub.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
we used to get them in the shell, and we had a little shell midden started over here at the edge of the property. But, because it eventually deteriorates, and it's just calcium. So.
Oh, yeah, it is. And we used to keep our oyster shells, and we'd throw them around the wash pot and burn them so that the calcium was all nice and everything. And then my job as a little child, I had to sit out there with an anvil and a hammer and bang on these oyster shells to break them up. The chickens just loved them.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah. made their shells very nice and firm and didn't break. That sort of thing. Anyway, you have a very happy new year and prosperous, and everything, I hope, goes along very well.
Well, I appreciate it, Edward. We're off to a roaring start. It's freezing cold and going to get colder.
It's cold as hell down here in Dallas, too. Everybody's freezing their tits off.
We're not leaving any brass monkeys out tonight, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, don't try on one of those brass bras. I'm telling you, they will give you frostbite.
I'll pass that along to Agnes.
Hey, yeah, please do.
All right. Edward, you take care.
You do, too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Edward calling from Dallas. Let's see. 12 minutes past the hour. Line's open if you want to jump in. Let's see. Tweet coming in from Isaac. I agree with you, Bob, on the previous conversation. Steve saying that the American Association of Pediatrics seem to say the benefits outweigh the risks. And yet, if we had you can make up any hypothetical in the world you want. My concern is consent. Because leave it alone. Except for the fact that there's a hell of a lot of nerve endings there. Really are. Just say it. Let's see. I'm waiting on a commentary on genital mutilation from Tim. So whenever you get around to it, Tim, that's fine. No worries. Where to go? Observation. Stockton Leary in the chat room. Brass monkey doesn't mean what we thought it meant. I know what it means. A brass monkey was the thing that held the cannonballs beside the cannon on a ship. And when it got cold enough to freeze the balls off a brass monkey, I mean, it was, well, but, yeah, it's not a brass monkey. Yeah. So, onward. Okay, so Miss Kitty wants to, I don't know why she's back here in the studio this evening. But she is. But you know, call me brutal, but we had that's the cat getting up on my shoulder. Yes, well, as long as it's comfortable for you. We had a dog once, beautiful Labrador Retriever. Her name was Miranda. I named her after Miranda in The Tempest. And she was very long-lived for that breed. She lived to be 15 years old. She was beloved to the children in their infancy and all through their youth. This is a fine time for you to climb around on me, Kitty. But when she got old, she became sick. And we didn't take her to have her killed. Maybe that was cruel. But Agnes and I had a conversation, and we decided that that was her life, not ours. And no matter what, we didn't want anybody, we as humans, would not like someone making a decision to take us off somewhere and give us a lethal injection when we were determined to be too sick. So we didn't. We loved her until she drew her very last breath and then lovingly buried her in the backyard. So at least at least you get an idea for where that comes from. From Rob in Minnesota, I don't know why this issue speaks to people, but it does. My oldest son was circumcised as a newborn at the Army Hospital in Fort Rucker, Alabama. It was a disaster. Before my second son was born 5 years later, my wife and I discussed with the obstetrician the problem we had with our first son's circumcision. My wife and I were very apprehensive at this point. The obstetrician said it was not necessary, so we opted out for our son's sake and for ours. There you go. Where to now? Well, I think we'll take a break. Just kind of put a little space between that issue and the rest of the program. This is The Horn, Conversation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. We're still looking for a little help for Sal, who got us started this evening, and many evenings gets us started, almost all evenings, I think. And looking to raise enough funds so that we're not in a $600 hole come Monday. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. So too is the traditional mail address. We'll be back.
I would have given you all of my heart, but that someone is torn it apart. She's taken almost all that I've got, but if you want, I'll try to love again. Baby, I'll try to love again, but I know.
But when it comes to being loved,
I'm sorry, that was just shameless. But still. Yeah. This is the Horn. Thorn in the Side Thursday, the second day of January 2014. That'll take some getting used to, but at least I got it right on naming the file this time through. Which is, yeah, it's nice to not screw up the first thing in the new year. Arbitrary though it is. India. Have you seen this? Back October 26th, a 16-year-old girl was raped by more than six men. And the next day, they came back. They came back after she had been to the police department to report the first one. On December 23rd, the rapist came back and set fire to her. Even after being set afire, she tried to go to the hospital. Her dying declaration was that she had been burned alive by two friends of the people she had accused of raping her. Protests are ongoing in Kolkata. We don't have, by any stretch of the imagination, a lock on the abuse of women in this country. It is probably, a problem as old as the patriarchy itself. And it is grounded, rape is, of course, in the absence of consent. Think about that. Meanwhile, crossing back over the Atlantic, we find ourselves in Maine, where Eric Bennett is a conservative, Republican, of course, who is running for the Senate of the United States. He is primarying Senator Susan Collins, also a Republican. He has, in addition to being Cat Honest to Pete, a Senate candidate, he also has a nasty history She's not very often back here with me, but this evening she decided she wanted to be a talk radio kitty and is trying to type to the chat room. But at any rate, no, Eric Bennett is, in addition to being a Senate candidate, a convicted wife abuser. Do I have to mention that he's pro-family? Of course he is. He took his case all the way to the Supreme Judicial Court of Maine, who held that there had been sufficient evidence to support the conviction of this right-wing freak for being a wife beater. Nonetheless, despite the conviction, rather than manifest anything resembling contrition, no, he says he was railroaded. In case you ever wanted to hear what a right-wing wife beater sounds like, well, you're not going to hear it here, because suddenly the audio is not working. That's okay. I'll quote him. All that needs to be done is you have to repeat what you wrote down in the police report, and that allows the victim to be viewed as a credible witness. So basically, if someone writes something down, it doesn't have to be true. All they have to do is repeat that on the stand. That's grounds for anyone to be convicted of domestic violence. He was jailed over this. Eric Bennett was. And he says that the fact that he went to jail for beating on his wife, abusing his wife, it's domestic abuse, not domestic beating, for abusing his wife, shows how much guts and integrity I have. The fact that I've been jailed repeatedly, wrong accent, the fact that I've been jailed repeatedly for not agreeing to admit to something I didn't do should speak to the fact of how much guts and integrity I have. This, according to the Bangor Daily News. And if I go to D.C., I'm going to have that same integrity in doing what I say and saying what I do when it comes to protecting people's rights as well as their pocketbooks. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you can go over and teach that Elizabeth Warren a little bit of respect. Because I'm sure Eric Bennett thinks that she's uppity. Now, this guy with all the guts and the integrity, he is also he's also got a lot of guts elsewhere. Over on Michael Michaud's Facebook page, and Michael Michaud is a member of Congress from Maine. We hope someday that he will be signed on to the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. Went over to Michael Michaud is gay. So that led Eric Bennett, man of guts and integrity, to go over to Michael Michaud's Facebook page and write, "The fact is, all the years Michaud was a closet homo in D.C., this war over the government discriminating over same-sex couples has been going on, and he's been yellow the entire time. He is a hypocrite and a coward, and no one we should put in the governor's office." He's running for governor. Those are the facts. If you are too, T.O., ignorant to acknowledge them, then that is your problem. Interesting how a convicted domestic abuser wants to talk about other people's problems. But he wasn't done. Here's another post from Eric Bennett, man of integrity and guts. Homosexual. All, sexual is all caps. "It is still a very literal term, and you are ignorant for not knowing that. You can call him whatever you want." Talking about Michael Michaud. "He is still a spineless coward that had the chance to take action to stop the government from oppressing people, and he didn't. I have no use for someone like that." And then when he was repeatedly criticized for all of this malarkey. He said, and I don't know if there was liquor involved. You don't take away people's rights because you disagree with them. The Democrats did not want to end slavery and tried to filibuster the Republicans' efforts to uphold civil rights for blacks and women, but you don't see us trying to take Democrats' rights away. What? You really think you the authority to... I think we need a verb there, Eric. That's E-R-I-C-K, by the way. You really think you the authority to remove a person's natural-born rights because they disagree with you? You must love Hitler!
Oh, God.
I guess it's just hard to stay away from that guy for some people. Marty, they burned her, not her. It's my understanding they burned her, not burned her house with her in it. They burned her, this in India. I don't know if it was any kinfolk of Eric Bennett's. I just don't know. And thanks, Dan. Thanks very much. Dan stepped up with Sal and took care of this evening's fundraising. And that is a big deal. If anybody would like to help us stay out of a deeper hole, because, well, we count all the ordinary broadcast days. Sometimes scheduling and life intervene. But thank you, Dan. Thank you very much. And yes, Marty, Elizabeth Warren probably would beat the snot out of Eric Bennett. Generally, your domestic abuser is not a particularly brave soul. They like to whip on people that are weaker. Witness a woman who, for all the other criticisms that we may have about it, a woman who says Facebook saved her life. Susan Stacy, down in Kentucky Stan, Leslie County, Kentucky Stan. Well, Donnie Stacy, her husband, had about enough of her a-talking on that newfangled telephone device. She was in the bathroom with it, no less, and ain't no good going to come of being in the bathroom with your telephone in Leslie County, Kentucky. So he said, "Who are you talking to?" And she didn't answer him right away. So that's when he pistol-whipped her within an inch of her life. And that's also when he ripped the phone out of the wall, or the phone cord out of the wall, so that she had no way of calling 911. Like many places in West Virginia, there are many places in Kentucky still where there is no cell phone reception, so the cell phone didn't work either. She took a picture of her pistol-whipped face and posted it to Facebook, typing simply, "Help. Please, anyone." That's when deputies arrived. A bunch of her friends called 911, and then the deputies showed up. In the police report, which, remember, Eric Bennett, man of guts and integrity, and right-wing family values candidate for Senate in Maine, that police report is what, you know, all you got to do is get on there and agree to it, And you're convicted. I won't do it. Well, the police report in Leslie County said that Ms. Stacy had suffered, quote, several lacerations to the head. They appeared to be bad, but we really couldn't tell at the time due to her hair was matted to her and the blood. Meanwhile, Mr. Donnie Stacy. Anybody want to bet how this guy votes? Anybody? Bueller? The deputies looked around for a while and finally found that Donnie Stacy had taken the weapon with which he had pistol-whipped Ms. Stacy and hit it out by his son's tire swing. Is there a common thread between Maine and Kentucky and Boone County, West Virginia, and India. All the victims were in situations where they were of unequal power. The victims were all female. And in each case, it is probably accurate to say that the attackers were suffering as much from ignorance as anything else. Are there any other common threads? Well, the attackers were all male. Hell, the attacker was even male in South Carolina, Stan, where the 15-year-old boy shot the 12-year-old girl. Who knows? Todd in the chat room noting, one, the victims are all female, two, the attackers are ignorant. The attackers are all male. Stockton Larry noting, the men are singing from the same hymnal. Yeah. And again, this is a process that is as old as patriarchy on Earth itself. Darlene noting, I'm no fan of Susan Collins, even though she's considered a moderate Republican. Yeah, I think that term is probably specious at best. But what an insult to have to run against a freak like Eric Bennett. I guess because he doesn't have his wife to abuse, assuming they are no longer together, and they appear not to be. He's turned to verbally abusing someone who is gay. If Maine elects that creep, then we have to seriously wonder about the people in that state. Right. Just like we would seriously wonder about, well, what, Louis Gohmert and Steve Stockman are apparently both considering a run for John Cornyn's Senate seat? Yeah. Marty pointing this story out from over at Raw Story that works interestingly within the theme we've been discussed. Travis Geddes over at Raw Story writing, a men's rights group is encouraging its followers to falsely accuse a sexual assault victim's advocate of rape in a stunt intended to undermine the veracity of all rape accusations. Paul Elam is the founder of a disgusting organization called A Voice for Men, and he and John Hembling and a woman described as feminist critic Karen Strawn, they were brainstorming how to help men get away with rape. That's when Paul Elam said in this online discussion, I've looked at a number of cases where people have reported alien abductions where they were prodded and poked and had different orifices in their bodies explored by aliens in a spaceship. And a common theme among these is that it turns out in most of these cases, it was Karen Smith. It wasn't aliens. Okay, so feminist critic Karen Smith, what? Karen Smith is a woman who has promoted a campaign called Don't Be That Guy in an effort to prevent rape and domestic abuse. Yeah, these are some real classy folks. Among other things, Raw Story reporting that they have conspired to shut down a website that permitted anonymous people to report sexual assaults. Really? Wow. What a man, those are some patriots. And then there's Eric Duckman. No, really. Eric Duckman. He'd rather be called Nick Redding. He wants to... he wants to punish Karen Smith for daring to try to heal those wounds. Nice bunch. Class. Pure class. This note coming in, as promised earlier from Tim. Happy new slice, Bob. I heard a report on a Berlin clinic offering reconstructive surgery to victims of female genital mutilation today on NPR. My grandma walked in as I was listening and proceeded to dismiss the premise. What mutilation? What repair? You can't replace that, she said aloud to no one in particular. My mom previously expressed skepticism about the mutilation controversy since she'd been circumcised and it wasn't a big deal. Supposedly it's just good hygiene to clean up all those fleshy bits flapping about. Plus, the reduced sensitivity cuts down on promiscuity. Anyway, once the story finished, we had a proper discussion. Grandma explained that she'd performed type 1A clitoral hood procedures on infants as a midwife in Nigeria. She was once asked to do this to a pregnant woman who was uncut. She did a covert operation on her last daughter since the practice was being discouraged by the 1970s. I explained that many of the victims were forced or tricked as they approached womanhood, and elder women sliced off all external genitalia, type 3. Grandma explained that it was a cultural practice from before civilization came to Nigeria. Circumcision was part of responsible upbringing of a child. After all, what girl could resist indulging in that sensation and getting pregnant? I wouldn't know since I'm already circumcised, she said. She then recalled the tears she wept after a woman asked why my grandfather bothered schooling his daughters. Everybody knows if you send girls to boarding school, they come back as whores. Well, Grandpa insisted that all four of his daughters would be educated. All seven kids got higher degrees, none majored in prostitution. Anyway, I skimmed the Wikipedia article on FMG to prepare this essay. Type 3 mutilation is actually worse than I described. There's a World Health Organization diagram, which may be more informative and less disturbing than text descriptions. I intend to print this diagram, and I encourage the Horn family to check out the article. Sorry for the long-winded memo. No apologies necessary, Tim. It is a brutal, brutal, heinous, just is. So, you know, there you go. Now, let's see, we can get rid of Eric Bennett now. Speaking of conservative groups, you know how I said that even absent the crystal ball and the fraying robes with the moon and stars on them, that I felt like I could probably confidently make a couple of general predictions. And that one of them would be that white outrage would ramp up. Yeah. Well, that didn't take long. Over on Facebook, there's a group whose name I'm not going to mention. David Edwards, again, has the story at Raw Story. They proudly display a noose, a Photoshop of a noose being placed around the head, around the neck, of Barack Obama. The caption for the photo is, "The Making of a National Holiday." The Photoshop job was actually done with a larger-than-should-be head of President Obama imposed upon the body of Saddam Hussein about to be hanged. Yes, hanged, in light of tonight's discussion. We will not say hung. Welcome to 2014. Welcome to the reasoned discourse of the Republican right. They went ahead and discussed the photo on the Facebook page. And I'm trying to see here. No. Facebook refuses. No. I guess they said with little effort or no overt effort on their part, Facebook saved the life of a woman in Leslie County, Kentucky. But Facebook says that they're not going to remove the photo of the lynching of the President of the United States. Facebook responded that it, quote, does not violate community standards. They later claimed they were taking the high road and removed it themselves, apparently. Mainly they did so because other right-wingers objected and said they feared that it would make Barack Obama a martyr. Yeah, good reason. Well, let's go ahead and finish off this little parade of horror. Northern Illinois, there are no boundaries, no geographical limits. Brian Sigler stands charged with first-degree murder. This goes back to something that happened last January. You can read this at Sauk Valley, S-A-U-K Valley.com. Dateline is Dixon, Illinois. Wait, isn't that... Does my memory serve me correctly? Isn't that the boyhood home of America's saint, Ronald Reagan? I believe it is. Brian Sigler, age 35, is alleged to have found sexual text messages on his wife's cell phone. His defense counsel at trial wants to have these text messages admitted as evidence. And they had a hearing over it. because I suppose it appears that the defense will be one that Mr. Sigler murdered his wife on account of the text messages. Wow. So apparently, sexy time text messages on your telephone. Cat. are justification for homicide. Or at least they are in the mind of defense lawyer James Mertes. They want, well, basically, they want to argue that the presence of the sexy time text messages make it second-degree murder and not first. First-degree murder is cold-blooded, premeditated murder, whereas second is heat-of-passion murder. Or acting under a sudden and intense passion resulting from serious provocation by the individual killed. No weapons, no nothing, nothing but a text message. Oddly enough, it will be January 15th before anyone knows whether or not Brian Sigler, age 35, of Dixon, Illinois, will be allowed to argue at trial that his wife had it coming. In regard to the tasteless photo of Obama and the noose, Darlene wants to know, is this group going to get a little visit from the FBI? I recall during the Bush years, a 14-year-old girl got a visit from the FBI when she posted how she wished that W would die or be done in by somebody. The FBI realized that the girl was obviously no threat and she had to apologize for what she said. Well, by way of justifying their own actions, this revolting group on Facebook posted a photo saying, "See, you liberals done it too," and they put up a photo of, I guess, something similar with George W. Bush. So the odious actions of some group of anonymous people are equivalent and thereby justify another odious and, well, the homicidal act, or at least homicidally idiotated in this case, act. Wowzer. And once again, we see that common thread. Oh, right, Todd. Okay, I was forgetting something. Todd in the chat room pointing out, no, Bob, we only look forward and... Oof. I guess. So I guess it's pretty much time to roll on out of here. I look forward to being back here on Monday. I wish I was going to be here tomorrow. No Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow, no program tomorrow. But we will be righteous and rolling come Monday. So I hope you'll join us then. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Thanks always go out to everyone for your ideas, your calls, your conversations, your emails, your tweets, Facebook postings. Thank you. Thanks go out to everybody who helps keep all this going. Thank you, Dan. And thank you, Sal, this evening. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHEACT.org, A-C-H-E-A-C-T, www.thepassengersaboardtheRiverSafe.org. Please, everyone, take care during the storm and through the vicious cold. Stay safe and stay warm. We'll talk soon. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Rick Smith is next on The Horn.